We have incredible value in God's eyes, and that's where we need to place our lives. If you look at Romans chapter 8, and if you'll turn there with me, that's where we're going to be this morning, Romans chapter 8. We find that we, in the early part of the chapter, we have freedom from condemnation. We have freedom from the control of the power of sin in our lives. And we have freedom from the fear of abandonment. I'm so excited for the first time in 3 years, we're going to have our Christmas for the community party in person. Instead of a parade where people drive by and get their gifts during COVID, they are now going to be back in person for the first time since December 2019. What a blessing that we got green-lighted by the Partnership for Strong Families that they said, hey, we're okay, we'll come back in person now. So we're excited about that opportunity. And when it comes to foster children, oftentimes the biggest struggle in their lives is overcoming that fear of abandonment. I know my father felt that fear growing up as a foster child in different foster homes. That's one of the reasons why I brought Christmas for the Community to fruition 25 years ago with the help of this church family, so that we can provide those kids with a consistent party each and every year, that we find them to be valuable, that we love on them, that we share with them that they matter, and that we will provide Christmas for them no matter what. And hopefully they find that in a foster home or a permanent home. But that fear of abandonment, that can certainly be something that can get us. But we know that with Jesus, we always have him in our lives, and we always have God in our lives. What we will be looking at this morning, and turning to the scriptures shortly, is that we get to claim the promises of God, that we have the freedom to realize the purposes of God, and that we are assured the protection of God. My dad certainly felt protected. Many of you have asked, almost every time I see one of you over the last 3 weeks, you ask about my dad, and he is home for the first time. Thank God he arrived home Wednesday afternoon, and he's been staying with us and getting home health care now after a couple of weeks in the hospital. And I shared this picture with several of you, but not with everybody. So this is my dad's 2022 Kia Telluride. This is a good advertisement for the Kia Telluride, that it actually protected my dad. It doesn't look much like a vehicle anymore. And my dad jokingly says if he has 9 lives, he's used 8 of them. And that is true, because he survived being shot at and bombed in the Vietnam War. He has survived multiple heart attacks. He has survived cancer. And so God has definitely been looking over him. And this is my full circle moment. This is Dr. Grant Harrell. When I arrived at this church in 1992, Grant Harrell was 10 years old. I see his family in the back there. And now he, 30 years later, is a seasoned doctor for UF Health at Shands. And he came by and offered some great advice and guidance for my dad and our family and taking care of my dad's needs. And we truly appreciate that and the prayers of this church family. This is the Wednesday night class praying for my dad. And we certainly appreciate those prayers from our campus ministry and then the other adult classes, and then you all praying for my dad as a church. And we certainly have most definitely felt that protection in Christ. So let's talk about these 3 points. Freedom to claim the promises of God from Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. Let's read together. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. When it comes to claiming the promises of God, we know that those promises from what we just read in verses 18 through 21, that we have promise of future glory. In verses 22 and 23, we read that we have the promise of full realization of what we can only taste now. And in verse 24 and 25, promise of patience being rewarded. When I think of these things in earthly terms, I think of the Olympics, and I think of our track and field athletes in particular. They train, and I talked to one of our UF athletes who made the Olympic team. I had the opportunity to do that back a couple months ago, and I asked him, I said, how long do you train when you're training for the Olympics? Like, all those whole 4 years leading up to it, and it's anywhere from 6 to 8 hours a day. It's a full-time job, 40 hours a week of training to be ready for that one moment in time to possibly win that reward. And what separates first place gold from last place? Sometimes just a few seconds. Sometimes tenths of a second. This is a picture of our 4x400 relay team in the last Olympics that was supposed to take place in 2020, but it took place in 2021 instead. And they obliterated the field. And I looked up what that obliteration meant, and that obliteration was by a couple of seconds. A couple of seconds, all that training, first, last. Blows my mind that a few seconds separated the field. You may win, you may not win, but I want you to think about our lives in Christ. As Mark says and has said after our Revelation series, we win. We win. We know that we have that promise of future glory. It's not a maybe proposition like an Olympic athlete. It is for certain. We will be kingdom citizens someday. And we get to live as kingdom citizens with that knowledge right now. And we know that we have the promise of heaven, of eternal glorification forever with God. Amen. We get the freedom to also realize the purposes of God. Romans 8, let's pick up in verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. This is one of my favorite passages in Scripture. And as we go on reading verse 29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. So we know, in realizing the purpose of God from what we just read, that the Spirit of God intercedes for us according to his will and purpose. We also know that our new life in the Spirit is based on God's purpose, and it includes suffering. Nowhere in Scripture do we read that we won't suffer. In fact, we read quite the opposite from Paul's writings and throughout the Old New Testament. The very fact is, we will suffer for Christ's sake, and we will go through suffering in this world. We also know that his purpose is for us to be conformed to the likeness of his Son and adopted into his family. We get to live a cross-shaped life. It's not just a Sunday morning worship thing. It's not just a Wednesday night Bible class thing or a ladies' thirst quencher thing or a men's breakfast thing. It is a 24/7 proposition for all of us as Christ followers. No matter what we do with our families, no matter what we do recreationally, no matter what we do for work or for school, no matter where we go with our kids or our grandkids, we know that we get to live a cross-shaped life in every aspect of our lives. And we know that we have that sonship, that we have that daughtership, that we get to live for the purpose of God each and every day. We know that we will be held up in God no matter what when we live that cross-shaped life in Him. This is my daughter, Addie, back a few years ago, and Mackenzie at SeaWorld. And I wanted to take a picture of them, and I had them stand next to the characters, and I was like, oh, can you hold my daughter? And then my wife comes upon the scene and goes, what in the world are you doing? I was like, well, I wanted to get this picture. And she's like, they're characters. They're Sesame Street characters. They drop our six-month-old. What are you doing? I'm like, I thought it would make a good picture. Never mind. Okay. So we know that in the world's hands, we may be held up, but more than likely we'll be dropped. In God's hands, we know that we will always be held up, that God will always hold us. That is His promise to us in His tender, loving hands. And Paul was very well aware of that. When Paul and Silas were in prison, what were they doing? Were they complaining? Were they arguing? Paul writes so often, regardless of being shipwrecked or beaten and left for dead or thrown in prison, no matter what, he said, you know what? You can do whatever you want to me, but since I've turned my life to God, I find my contentment, my joy, my hope, my peace in Him. And what are they doing in prison? They're singing. And what's the net result of that? Well, they get to turn a jailer and his family into Christ followers. They get to baptize an entire family later that evening. And we don't even know the impression that he left on all the other prisoners, but we know that it was a good one, and that was for God's glory and for His purpose. And we also, thirdly, we have the freedom of protection of God always. Let's read verse 31. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen, church. Protection in Christ means this from what we just read. It means I am free from any condemnation. We get to live freely knowing that our sins are forgiven because of Christ's sacrifice. I am led by the Spirit through no matter what circumstances may hit us. We are Spirit-led people because we are promised that Spirit upon baptism. I am a child of God and a co-heir with Jesus. Wow. What a great feeling that is to know that we are children of God and co-heirs with Christ. I'm certain of my eternal glorification. It's not based on what we can do. It's based on what God can do and will do through us. And also, I fear nothing in this world or out of this world. No matter what hardships may hit us, we know that God's got us. United States Army. This is, when I think of protection in this world, I think of this growing up as a military kid, my dad being a sergeant in the Army. Think of growing up within that, knowing that protection, seeing it firsthand when my dad would come back from drills. I think of great men like Lieutenant Colonel John Bell. I think of some of our alumni like Ryan and Captain Kim Quinn. I think of so many of you that have served in our military, and for that we are fully appreciative always. And to protect us from all those that would threaten the freedom that we enjoy in this world. But you know what? With the Army, with the military, we may win. Hopefully we win. I think we've won most of the time, but sometimes we lose. Within God's army, we always win. God is our commander, and we have this army to go out into Gainesville, Florida, and preach the good news, to share God's love with those around us. When I think of the story of the prodigal son, and I'll end with this, when we think of the father, we think of how he embraced his son, how he kissed his son, hugged his son, and welcomed him back upon seeing him. But sometimes we forget that he ran to his son. When the Jewish audience that was listening to this heard the words of Jesus, in that moment, they were like, wait, Jewish men don't run. That's undignified to pick up your robe, to carry that, and to run. That's not something we do. But guess what? That's something Jesus was saying the Father does. He cares that much for you that when you return to the fold of Christ, he wants you there and he runs to us. When it comes to giving our lives to Christ, if you've wandered away, you have that opportunity to return now or at any time. God is fully there to embrace you, to love you, and to welcome you home. He offers his promise, his purpose, and his protection in our lives always and at all times. If you need that and have not experienced that for the first time in your life, and you want to come to God through baptism, you have that opportunity now, or if you need the prayers of this church, please come now as we stand and as we sing.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. If you will, please be seated.
Sister Kay, come forward, and she's requesting prayer for a friend of hers that lives in Saginaw, Michigan. It's another of my classmates died this week from fentanyl overdose. Another one, my classmate called me last night. She said after 10 years of not talking to pray over their life because she's addicted to coke and doesn't want to overdose and lose her life. Prayers for the church in Saginaw to speak truth in love and allow all who are seeking God to come to him. Prayers for light in others and opportunity to reach those in the church that are looking for God but don't know how to start and where to go, that they are guided. There are so many people, they are fighting with this, so I call it demons, drugs, and they feel trapped. And doesn't matter how many things they tried, but we know that God is powerful. We know that only God can set those persons that are fighting with these addictions, God can set them free. Let us pray for Kay's friends and those that are fighting. God in heaven, we are so grateful because you have given us this spirit of power, spirit of freedom. And God, I know that Satan is deluding that truth, that Satan is the one that causing all those bad things that happen in their lives. God, I know that you hurt when many of these young people and good people, they are falling to this trap of drugs. I know you hurt. Father, help us then, to all of us, to show, Lord, that you care, that you have the answer, that you have the power to these people that they are fighting against those addictions that might be alcohol, drugs, and any other. I pray, Father, that those people would surrender to you, their lives to you, that you become the king and the ruler of their lives. I pray for the Kay's friends and their family. At this time, Lord, I pray that you sustain them, that you minister in the way that you only know how. I pray, Father, that you help them then to see that you love them, to see that you still care for them in spite of all this hardship and difficulty at times. Bless them, God. Thank you for Kay and her heart and the care that she showed for her friends. This is my prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. We extend a warm welcome and ask all of our visitors to come back and meet with us whenever you can. We ask you also, please stick around. Let us get to know you a little bit better. Everyone is encouraged to return tonight at 6 p.m. for the evening worship service. Also, we'd like to thank you for your interest in the needs and the events of our congregation by reading the weekly bulletin that's available both in printed and through email. If you're not presently getting it through email, just contact the church office and they will be happy to set you up. Today is the deadline to submit names for the Thanksgiving card, gift card. The forms are in the foyer, so if you know someone that you would like to reach out to and that would need this at the Thanksgiving time, please fill it out, if you would, and get that submitted today. Men's breakfast is this Saturday, November 5th. It will be in the Family Life Center. It is at 8:30 a.m. If you have any other questions or reach out to Dave Conser. I'm sure he'd be happy to talk to you about that. A few people reached out to our eldership and wanted to praise for the in the participation of last night's Thirst Quencher. And it is our prayer that this time of fellowship and sharing for these people continues to grow and to be prosperous. At this time, we'll be led in a closing song and a prayer.
Guys, if you'd like to, just please stand. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Pray with me, please. Father, we are thankful that this world is not our home, that we have our home in heaven with you. We ask that you would forgive us of our wrongs, that you would help us as we leave this place, that we would know that we do have freedom in Christ, and that we also have a responsibility. Help us to share that responsibility with other Christians and to try to do what we can to share your word with as many people as we can. Keep us close to you. Keep us from harm's way. Protect us and help us to always abide in your love and have the relationship that you would have us to walk in. Finally, when we are on this earth no longer, we ask that you would take us home, that we can be in home in heaven with you in your presence forever. In Jesus' name, amen.